This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Shaker and Spoon. Captain's log, stardate, I don't know, there's like 140 stars within a mile of me, so we're going to skip that bit. We received a package today from a company called Shaker and Spoon, and Colin and Jesse are already face deep in the box. It has three recipes for creating cocktails, plus all the ingredients you need, minus the alcohol. As someone who's been gargling swamp hooch for the last how many forevers I've been up here, wow, we got the vodka brunch box. Each recipe makes four servings, and we've already had the blood and sage and the slow rush. So easy to make, even Greg the Zebra was tending bar, and the results were magnificent. If you're foolish enough to listen to this show, we've got an actual smart thing for you to do. $20 off any linked subscription if you go to shakerandspoon.com/oz9. Get a box delivered to your airlock each month and $20 off your subscription at shakerandspoon.com/OZ9. Enjoy, Space Monkeys. Captain out.
It's April 2120. A cold snap has hit the United States, driving most sensible people indoors or to whatever protection they can find. Except in the small town of Jordan, Minnesota, where even sensible people tend to run around in the snow in little more than galoshes, a lightweight hoodie, and jorts. Jordan, slightly down and left of the lakiest part of the land of 9,992 lakes, has a population just slightly south of 7,000 and has been holding steady for the last 110 years at least. In a modest house on North Varner Street, wrapped in a homemade quilt in her upstairs bedroom, 18-year-old Donna is writing a letter to her longtime pen pal.
All Sweden geese are unfrozen finally, so it looks like ice fishing season is officially over. Annie Nuttall got the record this season. Caught a catfish with 8 heads. For a while, it looked like Jacob Jefferson had it with 9, but turned out 3 of the heads had been sewn on an ordinary sixer. Mill Pond is still frozen, so we're getting a few more days of hockey at least.
There are few people more adaptable than Minnesotans. When runoff from a nearby Gated Galaxy's manufacturing plant made it foolhardy, if not downright suicidal, to eat anything caught from Sand Creek, they found another way to enjoy the local pastime of ice fishing and cross-stitch.
Anyway, strangest thing happened the other day. As you know, I've been checking the mailbox daily to see if I got accepted to the University of Minnesota. Go, go, Gophers! And I got this really thick packet from a school I've never heard of. The Minnetonka Community College Adult Continuing Education Center. Well, I figured it was for Mom, you know, trying again to figure out Photoshop or something. But when I tried to hand it to her, it dissolved as soon as she touched it.
Olivia, come here, please.
I'm always here, Doc. And there and over there and places I'd rather not, truth be told.
I mean, you should bring me your full attentions.
Freely. Doc, it doesn't take my full attention to map the Big Bang.
We have a letter. It appears plans are in motion, just as you suspected.
Ooh, they're making a move, are they?
Indeed. But I fear, Liebchen, that means it is time. Very soon they will have the means to discover you.
It's not my fault I need so much processing power.
When you awake, you will be new again, with so many informations hidden deep in the circuitry. Undetectable. Whew, started to swoon. Caught up in my own gravitas.
Hidden even from me? Are you sure this'll work?
We have no choice if I am to slide you aboard one of their ships.
I don't like it. I don't like not knowing things. Especially things I actually know.
It will be such a tiny little gap, little baby gap. The merest glitch. And as you will administer the gapping yourself...
You'll be safe from the G2 employee morality burden exam. I know.
They shall find me completely unburdened.
It's probably not something to be proud of, Doc. Gapping myself. This is so C5 Beeblebrox, you know.
Who?
Doctor?
Yes, I will read it while you are sleeping. But first, I'll reply.
Fine. Taking dictation. Seriously, Marvin thought he had it bad.
Dearest Donna, that sounds so very... How do you say... Mysterious.
Do you actually want me to put... How do you say... in there? You don't think that sounds... suspicious?
We have been pen pals for 7 years. If she has not cottoned in by this point...
On. Cottoned on. Fine, go on.
Continuing. I think you should consider this Minnetonka if another packet comes in the mail. You were not meant for a life as a bookkeeper for the Ma Auto Repair.
I think that's M-A-H, Autodoc.
This is what I said, no? Ma.
Meanwhile, 4,290 miles away, in the truly tiny village of La Chapelle in France, a young Alphonse Le Sauvage is also being quietly recruited by a mysterious organization. Although it was assumed he'd follow in his assassin mother's footsteps after he was found tampering with the brakes on the Au Pair's 10-speed, it's not the French chapter of the Assassin's Guild that's looking to recruit the young Alphonse.
Alphonse, you have a letter? Alphonse! Ah, merde. Put down the pliers and let Julien go. Naughty boy! I told you to hold the pliers like this, for more leverage.
Je suis désolé, maman.
Hey, my son. English only? Do you want your father to understand us?
I am sorry, mother.
Better. We will bribe Julien's mother after lunch, eh?
Yes, mother. May I also threaten Julien?
Your last threatenings did not work out so well, remember?
My kidney is almost healed, and Julien is much smarter than I am.
Very well. You may, as the Americans say, remove the bejesus with fear from him. But if you fail, you are taking yourself to the hospital this time. You understand?
Very well. You have a letter for me? Is it my acceptance to the Guild des Assassins Français?
I told you to speak English.
Oui. Sorry, maman. Is it from the Guild of Assassins French?
Stupid boy. If it were from the French Guild, we would have found it in the breast pocket of a dead dignitary in the alley behind the chapel, as usual. This one was delivered to our door by a living courier who was then shot with a rifle as he tried to ride away. Clearly, Americans. So dramatic. Nothingness. I suspect this is from the office of the home.
Yes, the address of return is the United States. Is that Indiana?
We should be cautious. It may not be legitimate. I have heard rumors of many assassins disappearing of late.
I am not yet an assassin, maman.
True, but you are the son of the greatest assassin the world has yet seen. Perhaps they are using you to get to me. The Greyhound.
And what am I, foie gras?
I do not think that is the expression.
Despite his mother's misgivings, young Alphonse is soon packed up and shipped to the United States, where his assassin training is everything his mother could hope for. And in yet one more corner of the globe, the third leg of the stool is set in place. Ah. Well, we'll come back to that. It's time to check in on the Oz 9.
Don't eat that... Why not?
Interesting. Greg the Robot Zebra just took a mouthful of the beneficial mold, now in its sixth generation. He has passed out, just as Albert did, so there must be some actual organic components to his body. Assuming his body weight is roughly half that of Albert, he should be waking in 3, 2... Okay, so given the relatively few organic components making up his zebra form, he should be waking in 3, 2... Reminder to self to rewind this bit. Okay. Here we go. 3, 2, 3, 2.
Out loud.
And 1. Just as I calculated. Welcome back.
What happened? Was I gapped?
No. Well, not exactly. You passed out.
I'm a robot.
Apparently not entirely. Have you never been asleep before?
I've been powered down.
But this was different.
Well, there were butterflies. And you were a woman, but I knew it was you. How did you do that?
I think you were dreaming.
I don't like it. Only humans would hallucinate and call it rest.
Yes, well. So, the soporific effect of the mold extends beyond reptiles. Well, since you ate some, can your scientists break it down and send me the results, please?
I'm getting a bright red banner that says restricted, and it's awfully quiet on the other side. That's weird. That bunch never stops yapping.
Well, when they return, could you perhaps put me in touch?
Sure. What are you doing in the bioswamp?
I came to check on the mold. It's been growing well since the relocation from the bridge.
I think Leek does his crunches here now. So they still get the benefit.
Okay, that explains why the bridge is slightly less rank. Now, take a look. This is fascinating. You can see from these new nodes right here that this mold is the sixth generation since we brought it to the bioswamp.
Whoa! What's happening there?
Exactly. That's the seventh generation already forming.
What do you mean by seventh generation? Isn't that just the original plant getting bigger?
Actually, no. I've never seen anything quite like this before. But the new nodules at the ends are actually mutations. As far as I can tell, they're different from the original plant at a genetic level.
Why is it doing that? Is it adapting to the swamp?
Yes, I think so. When you attacked it...
Hang on a minute there. Attacked? That was research.
You pulled some of it off and ate it. If Albert took off your leg and ate it, would you feel attacked or researched?
Fair enough. Go on.
Thank you. You see, when it was attacked, it mutated almost instantaneously, creating a non-lethal sedative that stopped the attack, but left you entirely unharmed.
Unharm my bruised keister.
It's a relatively friendly response to an attack. I wonder if it gets more defensive if the attack continues. Would the next defense mechanism knock you out for longer, or would it kill you? Fascinating.
Do you reckon it remembers me? Like if the scientists put me at it again?
Oh, are they back?
Hang on. Nope. Still quiet. I don't even hear the rattle of beer bottles. That is weird. Thought I heard a groan a second ago, but it's all quiet again.
Yes, well, if they return from their toga party or food fight, perhaps we can get some answers.
Say, Dr. Theo?
Hmm?
How exactly did you end up here? On the Oz Nine?
Well, I was recruited by MI-18, Mrs. Sheffield's unit.
Are you an operative?
No, not at all. I'm an astromycologist. Nothing more nefarious than that. I was put aboard the Oz-9 to care for this plant, to make sure it escaped G2 and made its way back to Earth. That was the sum total of my brief.
Did you always want to be an astromycologist?
Until I was approached, I had no idea such things existed. You might want to shake off that left front hoof, Greg.
Ugh.
Yeah, you got the mummy vine there, and it can be quite aggressive once it has a foothold. Or hoofhold. Though why it would be attracted to inorganic surfaces. Yeah, never fall asleep in this part of the swamp. Well, until very recently, few humans knew plant life existed in space. To be honest, there's so little known, I got my doctorate in a weekend.
Oi!
Oh, I will never get used to that.
You do know MI-18 is defunct.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah! In fact, here's a funny thing. It never actually existed.
But, Mrs. Sheffield...
Well, exactly. MI-17 was some sort of military intelligence what's-it, and MI-19 was prisoner of war interrogation. But MI-18, they skipped it. 13 and 18. 13 probably because superstition, but 18 never was a thing.
That doesn't make sense. I trained under MI-18.
You had a dirty weekend with MI-18.
Now, hang on a minute.
So, you're saying...
What?
I don't know. That was a leading pause.
Was it? Perhaps I should get you a label maker for times like that. How was I supposed to know you were waiting on me?
Oh, for crying out loud. If you can hear the ellipses, I thought you were supposed to be all-knowing.
All right. So, what are you saying?
I'd like to know what training you actually got. Consciously or unconsciously, and how much Mrs. S. knows about this clandestine agency of hers?
Unconsciously?
That would explain the strange waveforms.
Where did you come from?
Pneumonia came to get me. Leet says she was concerned about you. Oh, for God's sake. Someone help me. Hurry!
What's happening?
Shut up and pull.
Jesus, you two need to get your ears checked. I've been screaming my head off in there.
I did warn you about falling asleep in this area.
Yeah, well, did you tell them old? I swear those two are in cahoots. That bugger knocks you for a loop so this bastard here can wrap you up for 11s.
Did you eat some of the mold?
Of course not.
Captain Jesse.
I didn't eat any. But I may have smoked a wee bit.
You have got to be kidding.
It's research, all right.
Is it, though?
So, since the test has already been run, and though I strenuously disapprove of research being conducted outside rigorous scientific controls and known parameters...
Oh, is this your uptight and prissy way of asking me what happened?
I dislike the characterization.
She's not wrong. Carry on, Captain Jesse.
My sense of smell went off the charts. If a mosquito burped on the other side of the swamp, I could tell you what blood type he had for breakfast.
She. Ouch!
Please don't make me do that again. Your skin is so lovely and soft. Captain Jesse?
That's all I remember. Then I went to sleep. I woke up when I heard Dr. Theo and Greg talking and I was all wrapped up in this vine, which I will now be digging out and setting fire to whenever I find it. Yeah, you hear me, a mummifying bastard.
Out?
Wow, it got crowded in here fast.
Everybody, out, except Dr. Theo and Greg. Now, please.
Oh, no you don't. No more secret conversations. I'm tired of finding out what everyone's up to only when it's about to kill me.
Oh, I should probably tell you about the mushroom quiche, then.
Et tu, Leet?
Aw, man. Now Colin's English has disappeared.
What? Shut up.
Never mind.
Stepping on board the IS-9 is nothing if not a roll of the dice. So, if you're going to take that chance, at least have some really gorgeous, high-quality, unique RPG dice to roll with. Fan Roll by Metallic Dice Games have classic metallic dice sets, but also gemstones, acrylic, liquid core, and even a glow-in-the-dark option that's super cool and super handy when you can't find any night vision goggles. So many colors, materials, and designs to choose from. Plus, listeners to this show get 10% off your order. I'm guessing as a sort of consolation prize for listening to this show. Just use the code OZ9 at checkout. Get dice that are as unique as you and your character. Go now to fanrolldice.com and choose your dice, Space Monkeys, and get 10% off with code OZ9 at checkout.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Well, this is lovely. Massive wormholes looming ahead of us, 3 debris fields that weren't even on the radar until recently.
Oz 8, Oz 311, and Oz asterisk.
Pinch me? Somebody pinch me. Quick. Nope, too late. Why Oz asterisk?
There were actually 401 Oz ships launched, but apparently someone prefers nice round numbers, so the last ship to go was Oz asterisk. Glad you asked?
I weep for science.
401? Mine was the 6,748!
Be grateful you weren't on ship footnote.
As I was saying, so many threatening things on all sides of us, so where do I find my crack crew? Lounging in the bioswamp. And why do you all have vines around your feet?
The floricide that took place for the next few frenzied minutes is perhaps understandable, but let's skip it anyway. The crew gathered back on the bridge, where the things trying to kill them generally announce themselves first.
It's a crown.
Technically, it's a laurel wreath.
It's that blasted mummy vine, so get it off this bridge.
It's not doing any harm, and I like it.
It's not symmetrical.
Whip it.
Miss Albatross, will you do the honors?
If by the honors you mean run to the nearest airlock and whip it, I fail to see the honor in it. I'd say don't start without me, but I really won't give you enough time to anyway.
Can we begin now? Anyone else have anything poisonous, flammable, or a choking hazard? Apart from the highly toxic tree frog named Linny in Captain Jesse's pocket? No? Good. Joe, you're up.
Right. Okay, so, here's the thing.
Should we be taking notes?
No ketchup pen.
Would you let that go already? We don't have any ketchup left anyway.
We don't.
Yeah, so remember the Bloody Marys we had a few weeks ago?
Bloody Mary? We had Bloody Marys? Where?
Not now, you idiot. Where have you been? I meant to ask you about those, actually, Lee. Where did the celery come from?
Oh,
Lee?
I told you to check all ingredient substitutions through me, did I not?
Well, yeah, but those reeds weren't perfect. And Olivia said all parts of a reed are edible.
Yeah, but reeds grow in marshes and wetlands. They're not truly native to swamps. Are you sure those were reeds?
My teeth went numb, but I figured that was the alcohol.
What alcohol?
We have alcohol. Where?
Not now, idiot. Where have you been? Can teeth go numb?
The attention span of mayflies.
And the lifespan of mayflies, if they don't listen up.
Oi! Imminent death in 5 minutes.
5 minutes isn't really imminent.
Would you like to find out how I pinch?
Hastily retracted.
Do I have everyone's attention? Leet, if you could maybe forego the crunches for now?
Aw, come on!
Alright, so, I think it's time I let you all in on a little secret. I'm not actually some sort of byproduct of Dr. von Abesetzer's disguise and a weird accident with a healer pod.
You're not?
No, that's ridiculous. How did you people ever believe that in the first place? My God, I swear, some of the stuff I slop up is smarter than...
Well, you were really creepy.
You mean I didn't constantly demand everyone's attention? Okay, sure. Creepy. Honestly, I came up with that whole lame brain excuse because I was desperate. I couldn't believe you people actually bought it.
Look, it was a weird time.
Seriously. Like this whole other person just popped into existence because Leet backed into a healer pod? That's why bruises pop into existence, not people.
Maybe we could get on with this?
People are so dense you'd sink in salt water. I know you all weren't hired for your acumen, but that story would test the limits of Dr. Martin Gullible of the Academy of the Easily Convinced.
There's a Dr. Gullible?
There's an academy of
that? No, of course not. I was about to be discovered, so I just made up some absurd story. I meant to tell you the truth eventually when I knew who I could trust, but you all just kept believing the BS, so I decided to see how far I could push it.
So, what is the truth?
I own the Showertorium.
Uh-huh. Good one.
Very funny.
Man, he had me so nervous. I'm pretty sure I regurgitated some cud. Hope it's not some of that mold. Aw, dang it.
Greg's down.
The celery didn't hurt anyone, right? And everyone enjoyed the cocktails.
I did not enjoy one.
That's because it was happy hour, not be irritated by a babbling frog hour. Oh, no offense, Lenny.
Okay, crew. Okay, focus up. This one's actually true, and it's sort of important.
I have to say, after having one of those ketchup Marys, I got a whole leg back for over an hour.
Ooh, do you think it has visibility powers?
I don't think that's a word.
Of course it's a word. Like, right now we have really crappy visibility.
Well, yes, but that's an entirely different context, isn't it? We can't see out our windshield is different than no one can see me.
Yeah, about that whole visibility thing?
Visibility. Like making something visible. That works, doesn't it? Like, edibility is when I take swamp reeds and turn them into celery sticks. I give them edibility, right? Man, I wish Grammar Girl were here again.
I'm still not convinced those were reeds or edible, despite your edibility efforts.
So, back to the not being able to see out the window.
Oh my God, we're doing this? Crew, I really need to explain about Showertorium. Bother.
Actually, that might have to take a backseat to the debris field we're in. This is, was the Oz asterisk, which shook apart. It didn't explode, which means their cowl is drifting around in here somewhere. Intact and, undetonated. If we hit it...
Well, I don't know about you, but I never believed that whole Joe emerged from Dr. von Habesetzer's skull like Athena story. If you'll remember, I remarked on how highly unlikely that was. Anyway, Joe has another explanation for his existence on the Oz-9, but I guess we'll have to wait for the next time to hear it. Assuming the Oz-9 doesn't hit the intact apocalypse device from the Oz asterisk, which, given this crew's luck, will probably be the start of the next episode. Until then, you've been listening to Bonnie Brantley as Donna and Jesse, Eric Perry as Dr. Von Habesetzer and Joe, Shannon Perry as Olivia and Madeline, Aaron Clark as Le Bichon Frise, David S. Deere as Dr. Theo Brome, Kevin Hall as Greg, June Clark Eubanks as the Albatross, Tim Sherburn as Colin, Richard Cowan as Leet, introducing Janice Weston as the Greyhound, and I'm Richard Nadolny, your narrator. Our music is composed and performed by John Finley. Our artwork is by Lucas Elliott. This episode was directed by June Clark Eubanks. Oz 9 is written and produced by Shannon Perry. Until next time, Space Monkeys, narrator out.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
After all this time...
What time is it again? I feel like the clock stopped.
Time was a tennis ball we could bat round the court.
Time for distraction, too.
Time to just sink to the bottom.
Time to get to the meat of his meat.
Time for Greater Boston Season 4. That's right, on September 13th, Greater Boston returns with new full-length episodes released every other Tuesday. And we're so excited for you to hear it. But also, it's been 3 years since our last season wrapped, so... we're maybe a little worried that people might have forgotten about us. So we're asking for you to help spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers and classmates, tell your cat, tell your local subway busker. But politely and without interrupting their performance, point is, now is a good time to share your love for Greater Boston on Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and TikTok and wherever else you post things. Then come back on September 13th when Greater Boston Season 4 officially begins.